I'm not sure. Do you have this turned on? Okay, good. I thought I could hear myself, but so it's plenty loud. That's nice. You know, I was blessed last week. I got to go to camp all week, and I really was going to speak on something else here tonight, and I thought, nah, man, I think I'll speak on at camp, because we were blessed with angels are rejoicing in heaven over 8 souls who were added to the Lord's body at camp. And so that's a real blessing when you, that's one of our mission fields that I really love to be involved in. And we, what I'm going to be sharing with you tonight, so you'll kind of know, I thought, well, this be interesting. You'll kind of know what we do at camp. You know, I like Christian, it's called Central Texas Christian Camp, Camp Hensel. It's outside of Marble Falls. My son-in-law and his brother, they're the ones that oversee it, have it all working, and their wives, and they make it all work. They do a ton of work. We usually have from 160 to usually 220, I think that's our limit, kids, and another 50 or 60 adults. It takes a lot to make it happen. And we do some good stuff there. You know, we have a lot of entertainment. Boy, this last week, I'm telling you, it was hot. very hot. But we endured it anyway. The kids endured it. A few of them kind of got a little overheated, but they made it. And nobody had to go home and stay home. We had one that had to go home, but he came back the next day. But even my grandson had a little problem, but he made it. He came back. And he's been there forever. He's been with the youth group that they have since he was that big, singing and doing the stuff he does. And I was proud of him because he was elected by the faculty and everybody, not the students, the faculty that are there, the staff and the counselors and all that, as being the spiritual leader of the whole camp, which he is. But I'm glad they saw that too, because I don't vote, you know, but because this year I didn't. I only vote when I teach a class normally, when I'm with all the kids and stuff all day long. Well, this year I was very blessed. They let me come back because they said, you've already paid your dues and stuff. You just come back and help out wherever we need you. I said, all right, whatever you need, I'll do it. And last year they told me that a week before I got to go. He said, well, we're going to need you Tuesday night. You're going to get up and teach a lesson. And I thought, okay. I said, you're just lucky. I usually preach 4 or 5 sermons before I go to camp over the topic anyway. I said, I got that on my mind and heart. I can handle that. And so anyway, a day after that, they called my brother-in-law passed away. And they said, well, he's going to be buried. I have his funeral on Monday. Well, camp started Sunday that evening. And so I thought, wow, okay, that wasn't good timing, but that's the way it goes. My daughter and I, we got up and left early Monday morning to go to San Angelo to where he was going to have his funeral. And we stayed down there. And then after lunch, we came back, got back by 5 o'clock. And on the way back, here's what he called. He called my daughter and he said, hey, it looks like we're going to have this or that tomorrow night and it's going to be storming and we're not going to be able to go to. So he's going to have to speak tonight. All right, dude. And he knew me. I said, that don't matter. I'm ready. I was ready before I got here. And he said, okay. And so we went and I got to speak. And he said, you know, that's the best lesson you've ever done. I said, you mean out of all them lessons I've done? He said, no, that's the best one. My daughter said, well, he preached to me all the way to San Angelo and back. And when I heard it that night, it wasn't anything like he preached on. I said, hey, when you get up in front of a crowd, you just preach what's on your heart. It comes out. You know, sometimes you just, you know, I just was able to share it. Anyway, camp is beautiful. We had a great camp. 8 souls were saved. And our topic came from a thought that's kind of keys around, doesn't it? It does key around Ephesians 2, 8, 9, and 10. Now, y'all all know that. You know, if I say it, you know exactly what it is. It says, for by grace you've been saved through faith, not of yourselves. It's the gift of God. It says, not as a result of works that you should boast, for we are His workmanship, or His craftsmen, some translations say, or His workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. We've been created to do good works, to do good deeds. And when you read in the book of Ephesians, one of the things it says, you know, the mission, our mission in Ephesians 3:10 is make known the manifold wisdom of God through the church. And so that's what we're doing. We're pointing people to Jesus, bringing people to the cross. That's what it's all about. So if we're going to be God's craftsmen or God's workmen, created in His image, what are we doing? Good deeds. What are we going to be doing? And that's what I want to share with you about five things tonight that talks about the five marks of a Christian craftsman. First thing it is, we have God-centered work. That's the reason I wanted to sing that song. We have God-centered work. We're supposed to be working for the Lord, doing good deeds and things. And we're walking the way He'd have us to walk, as it says in Ephesians, walk in love, walk as children of light, walk as wise men and women, you know, because we're walking with Him. But He says what you need to do is we need to have God-centered work. Now, what does that mean? That means to God be the glory. Everything we do is to glorify God, to praise God. Not me, not you. If we're doing that, then our heart's not right. Because that's the reason invitation is going to sing, is our heart right with God? When your heart's not right with God, all of what I'm talking about tonight's not going to happen. You are not going to have this. When your heart's right with God, you're going to have a God-centered work. Because we're doing everything we do not to please self or man, but to glorify God. Or that's the way it's supposed to be when we go through life. And the way I can apply this and make this tie in real easy is the greatest sermon ever preached, the Sermon on the Mount. What is the whole concept of that sermon? Your heart being right with God. If your heart's not right, none of that's going to happen. You're not going to do that. And that's where we're looking at. If we have God-centered work, that's the kind of work we have. That's a mark of a Christian craftsman. Our work is to please God, to glorify God, to lift up God. Doesn't that make sense? Forget about me, mine, mine. No, no, no. Kind of like Jesus, not my will, Lord, but your will be done. We're doing God's will. And God's will is that we're pointing people to Jesus, bringing people to the cross, making the manifold wisdom of God through the church. And we're the church, the body of the saved. And I said, well, that's all right. We know what we're supposed to be doing. And we just have to always remember to have God-centered work. You know, it's easy sometimes to exalt yourself. You know, that's the reason I kind of wouldn't see some of the things. I said, why? Don't exalt me. Exalt the God, you know. That's what it's all about. Because He says, he exalts himself, he'll humble. He who humbles himself, he will exalt. Matthew 23. That's right. He will lift us up. He will exalt us where we need to be when it's all said and done. And so we live humble lives, or we're supposed to. And we're doing that when we have God-centered work, glorifying God. Because He says in the Sermon on the Mount, I can just go through this. You've read it. You probably about got it memorized. Most folks in here, most are a little older. But there's some younger ones. But Sermon on the Mount, that's the life you're designed to live. The life of Christ. That's what it's all about. We're the blessed men and women. We're not self-controlled. We're not circumstance-controlled. We're not controlled by the world or man. We're God-controlled. And we're glorifying Him. He controls our life. That's the reason we're the blessed men and women. We live in a state of mind different than the world out there. We have our eyes fixed on Jesus, focused on Him. He's number one. And therefore, we're going to do what He says. We're going to live that blessed life because we're controlled by God. Then we're going to be the salt of the earth, God's covenant children. We're going to be the light of the world. And I love what it says talking about in Matthew, talking about being the light of the world. When you read over there in the book of Matthew, talking about the light of the world, when he says, you're the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do men light lamp and put it under a peck measure, but on the lampstand. And he gives light to all who are in the house. This is in Matthew chapter 5, verse 16. Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works. We're doing good works, and our good works are to glorify God. And that's what it says here. Let your light shine, they can see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. See, that's what we're doing. When our heart is right with God, when we're the blessed men and women that God intends for us to be, God control, we're going to be the salt of the earth, the light of the world, and our good works are going to be shown because we're glorifying God. We're pointing people to God. Say, trust in Him, rely on Him. You know, it's that old concept, call on the Lord. I don't mean something like the world says. I'm saying call on the Lord, which means you trust God, you rely on God, And therefore, you're obedient to God's word, so you'll be doing what he wants you to be doing. His will, not your will. That's what it means to call on the Lord. And so he says, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees, you're not going to enter heaven. What do you mean? What was wrong with them? They weren't God-centered. They weren't giving God all the praise and the glory. They were trying to be righteous before God by their own merits. No, no. You know, we do works of faith, not works of merit. You know what I mean? We have faith in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We don't do works of merit. Look what I have. Look what I did. No, no, no. We don't do that. We do works of faith that puts our trust and faith in the Lord, and everything is relying on him, trusting in him, and being obedient to him, because he's our Lord and Master. And so, unless our righteousness exceeds the Pharisees, we're not going to enter into heaven. We have our heart right with God. He has first place. We're going to glorify him. Don't look at me and look what I've done. No, no, no. I'm a nobody. I'm just here like you, you know, created in the image of God, but we messed it up. But God made it where we can have it right again, fellowship with him. And then he goes on to say some things when you're reading in Matthew. He says, you've heard it said some things. Well, what they heard was right. This is Matthew chapter 5, verse 21. They heard right. They were just misapplying it. You've heard it said, thou shalt not commit murder. In reality, he's saying when you have hate in your heart, you've already committed murder. What? In your heart. And he says, you've heard it said, thou shalt not commit adultery. He says, when you look upon a woman and lust after her, you've already committed, what? Adultery in your heart. See, it's the heart that matters. And then he gets over in this stuff, and I love it, about the eye and about the hands. He says, if your eye isn't seeing what you need to see, pluck it out. If your hand is not doing what it ought to do, cut it off. And I could add to it. I know we're not to add to and take away from God's word. But if your feet are going where they don't need to go, cut them off if you want to look at it like that. And now he's not literally speaking. He's metaphorically speaking. In other words, if your heart's not right, because out of your heart flow the issues of life. What you have in your heart is going to come out. It's going to determine what you see, what your hands do, and where your feet go. So get your heart right with God so that you can be, as it says here, God-centered work. Because your work will be to glorify God, not self. And then he ends this, and I'm not going to go through all of it. I'm just using it. Verse 48. Therefore, you are to be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. How does God look at you and I as being perfect? By the blood of Jesus that cleanses us of all unrighteousness. We're pure. We're righteous. We're saints. You know, we don't like to hear that word. We don't want to exalt ourselves. But God calls us, when you read through, he says, saints in this and the saints in that. Yeah, it's God's children. We are saints in his eyes because we're pure and holy and righteous by the blood of Jesus. Just like Adam and Eve were before sin came in the world. And we have fellowship with God, a relationship with God. So he says, be ye perfect as our heavenly Father in heaven is perfect. By perfect, he says, what you need to be is to be the complete, whole, mature people lacking in nothing. Because our heart is right with God. Oh, okay. Now he gets to the real meat of what I'm kind of getting to here. But what we need to do, one of the marks of a Christian craftsman, is the fact that we have God-centered work. Now he says, what do you do? He says, you don't pray to be seen of men. You don't give to be seen of men. You don't fast to be seen of men. No. You give and you pray and you fast to glorify God. That's what it's all about, see? Get your heart right. He says, where your treasures are, that's where your heart is. Isn't that? That's what he says, where'd that go to? Verse 21, for where your treasure is, there will be your heart also. So get your life right with God. Have God-centered work. Glorify God. Lift him up. He says, now don't worry about stuff. You know, we do that sometimes. All of us do, don't we? Now, it's all right to be concerned about things, but when we just have this, oh, get caught in this old worry trap, no. God says, don't do that. He said, don't worry about what you're going to eat and where you're going to sleep or where you're going to clothe yourself. God's going to provide it. He says, what you do, verse 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, all these things will be added to you. In other words, you be God-controlled. You let him rule your life. He'll provide the things we need. He's told us he would. And not only has he told us, he can and he will. That's the good news, folks. So we need to be, if we're going to be the Christian craftsman God wants us to be, the first thing, we have God-centered work. Our heart is right with Him. He has first place. To God be the glory. We're glorifying Him. And He says, now don't worry about this little stuff of looking over here at somebody else talking about judging. You know, they got a little speck in their eye. Well, we all have something, you know, because what you look for, you find. You look for no good in people, you're going to find it. You look for good, you'll find it. That's true. You know, so what you're doing is you're not looking for a little speck in somebody's eye. Oh, man, look what he's got. Get the beam out of your eye. Because when you're doing that, you got a problem. That's what he's saying. Get your heart right. And you won't be looking for that. You won't be seeing that. You'll see right through that. You see that as an individual, as a child of God, creating the image of God, even if he's not a child. He's still creating the image of God. Maybe he's messed it up. And maybe you need to share the truth of the gospel with him so he can get his life right. We don't need to judge him. The Word's going to judge him when it's all said and done anyway. We get our life right first. We have God-centered work. We're praising and glorifying God, and we're pointing people to Jesus, not to self, and bringing them to the cross so that they can have the peace and joy that comes from being a child of God. Isn't that pretty simple? He says, you ask and you'll receive, and seek and you'll find, and knock and it'll be opened unto you. Well, I'm going to ask the Lord for $1,000,000. Now, that's not what he said. He said, in accordance with his will, you ask, in accordance with the work he wants you to be doing, going out and pointing people to Jesus, bringing people to the cross, you ask and you'll receive and seek, and it'll all work out because God will make it work. He's in charge. We just need to, again, go to him in prayer, trust in him. He'll open the doors and close the doors. He said, by the way, what we need to do, and our heart is right with God, we live that little old rule we tell little kids all the time. Golden rule. Do unto others as you'd have them do unto you. Now, I paraphrase that, but that's what it says. Not do unto others as they do to you. He knocked my block off, so I'm going to... I mean, that's little kids thinking, if you know what I'm saying. No, you got to teach them different. I mean, we don't live like that. You know, we live by the golden rule. What do you mean? Tell them. Show them. Said, do unto others you'd have them do unto you. They don't deserve this necessarily. If we all got what we deserve, we'd be in trouble. All of us would be. You know, there's got to be a little bit of grace out here among us, you know what I mean, for other people saying, man, he messed up, but I'm going to help him. I'm going to share Jesus with him. Jesus is the answer to anybody's troubles, ours, yours. I don't care whose it is. He's always the answer, always will be and always has been. And then he goes on, he says, not everyone says, Lord, Lord, is going to enter the kingdom of heaven. But he that what? Doeth the will of my Father who is in heaven. God's will is revealed in God's word. And what we need to be building is not on our own righteousness, but the righteousness of God, building on our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Why? It says he's our rock, he's our foundation in which we build on. The same today, tomorrow, and forever. It's not going to change. He's not going to let us down. Because if you don't build on him when the tough times come, we'd like we're building on the sand. Crash. I mean, I'm putting it in simple terms, but that's what it says. So see, the first mark of a Christian craftsman or Christian workman is the fact that we have God-centered work. We're going about doing good works as God has instructed us to do, but we're God-centered. We're giving him all the praise and the glory and pointing people to him. Doesn't that make sense? That's what we need to be doing. But the second thing we realize about a mark of a Christian craftsman is strength. Strength, power. Where do we get our strength from? God. We start thinking we can do it all on our own. You know, we have that. We all get that little that little problem every once in a while. I mean, I'm guilty of it too. We all are. A lot of times we think, oh, I can do it all by myself. That ain't going to happen. Well, we usually do it all by ourselves and make a mess out of it. That's true. But it ain't going to be what it ought to be when we don't realize, no, I can't do it by myself. But I start putting God's Word together, and I look to God's Word for my strength. Look to God. Look to Him for strength. And you say, well, I start looking, and I say, well, okay. 2 Timothy 1:7 says this in simplicity. 2 Timothy 1:7. Paul told Timothy, he says, you weren't given a spirit of timidity, but of power, love and self-discipline that basically says, I can, I will, and I must be about doing the business that God has given me to do, the work that God has given me to do, pointing people to Jesus, bringing people to the cross. And so he says, what I'm going to do is I'm going to hold to that word. I'm going to study that word. I'm going to share that word. I'm going to live that word. And when he does that, things are going to be what they ought to be, aren't they? That's what we do. Same thing. You know, if we read God's word, it has the message of what we need. Our power doesn't come from us. It comes from God. When we read in 1 Corinthians 10:13, you know it. I just kind of paraphrase this, but you can read it. When we're reading over there in 1 Corinthians 10:13, you will not be tempted beyond what you're able to bear. If you turn to God, he'll provide for you what you need. Trust in God. Rely on God. Be obedient to him. Put him first. He's the one who gives you the strength and the power that you need. And it says in Philippians, if you want to look there, in Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Our strength comes from God. Our power comes from God. But we've got to be able to be willing to turn to God so that he can work through us to be what we... But what has he given us to enable us to do what we need to do? He's given us the indwelling of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. Now think about that. In Ephesians chapter, because I tie a lot of this in, Ephesians chapter 1:13 says, in him, Ephesians 1:13, it says, in him you also, after listening, not before, mine says after, I hope yours does, says after listening, after hearing, and also you could put under understanding what you heard, after listening to the message of the truth, the gospel of your salvation, it's after you've listened to it, you've heard it, and you understood it, it says then, having also believed. When did you believe? After you heard the truth of the gospel. Faith come by hearing, hearing the word of God. That's what it amounts to. It's not till after that you've heard it, you've understood it, then you'll believe. Believe what? The scriptures that Jesus is who he claimed to be. He is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Oh, he's the head of the church. His church that he purchased, that he established on the day of Pentecost, which is his family, the body of the saved. Jesus is Lord of lords and King of kings. After hearing all that, then you believe that. And when you believe, what are you going to do? You're going to have real faith in Jesus, a working faith that is obedient to God's word. And then you do what he says. Repent and be baptized, every one of you. Oh, what? Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for forgiveness of sin. You know that's Acts 2:38. I did not tell you, but you know it. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins. And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. I know, I'm getting something here. It's got some power in it, see? My power doesn't come from me. It comes from God. And God has given you and me as his children. He has given us, he has sealed us as children of God with the Holy Spirit that enables us to do things, Ephesians 3 says, beyond what we can even imagine or think. Oh, he empowers us. It's not I that live, like Paul said. I've been crucified with Christ. It's not I that live, the Christ that lives in me. And the life that I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Galatians 2:20. Oh, yeah, that's where it is. Christ is living in us. But when did that happen? After hearing and listening the truth of the message of truth, the gospel of salvation, then believing. And believing means doing what the Word of God says, having faith that came by hearing his word, then it says you are sealed with the Holy Spirit. And that Holy Spirit is given to us as an earnest, a down payment, an authentication, authenticating the fact that we're a child of God. That's how we know we're right with God. God says He's given us the Holy Spirit. When we hear, when we believe, and we obey, and we do what His Word says, that we can have the indwelling of the Spirit, we can have Christ in our life. He gives us the power. He says, you go, you make disciples, and you baptize them, you continue to teach them, I'll be with you to the end of the world. He's there with us. He's given us power to do the things. So one of the marks of a Christian craftsman is the fact that we have strength. We have power that comes from God. And God has given to us when we've obeyed His will and done what He says, that we can be sealed with the Holy Spirit. And then we can go about our business knowing, I'm a child of God. Oh, now I can go about doing God's business, glorifying Him, because He's empowered me to do so. Doesn't that make sense? Yeah. And someone says, how do you know that? I know I'm a child of God because God said it. That's how I know it. Not that someone else said it. God said it. He says, after believing or hearing and listening and understanding and having believed, and if I believed, I obeyed Him, what His Word said, and done what Acts 2:38, then I'm sealed with the Holy Spirit. I keep stressing that because you know as well as I do, there's some folks out there, the world, that tells you that you have the Holy Spirit before you're ever baptized or anything. And that's that Holy Spirit. No. That's exactly the opposite of what God said. You don't have the Holy Spirit, the indwelling of the Spirit, until you're baptized into Christ. Your sins are washed away. Again, Acts 2. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of sin, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. That's when you have the Holy Spirit. That's when you're clothed in Christ. When you're baptized into Christ, your sins are washed away, you're raised to walk in newness of life, you're clothed in Christ in white raiment, you're pure and holy and righteous before God by the blood of Jesus. Isn't that wonderful? See, that message don't get preached enough. Obviously it doesn't, or we wouldn't have what we have out here now in the world. I guess they've, kind of like the Lord said, they have ears but they don't hear and eyes and they don't see because that's not what they want to hear and see. Isn't that what the Jew had? A lot of times when you read through the book of John, building faith in Jesus, he was not saying what they wanted to hear, so they rejected him. Sure, same thing today, no difference today. There's folks out there, no matter what you say, they hear truth, but they won't accept it because it conflicts with what they want. So they're not going to accept it, but that's a choice. See, we always have choices. That's the good news. Hey, you still have a choice. You choose which way you want to go. You want to go the narrow gate that leads to life or the broad road that leads to destruction? It's your choice. Okay, and that's the choices we all make. But as a Christian craftsman, the first thing is we have God-centered work. We glorify, to God be the glory. We glorify Him in all we do. As a Christian craftsman, one of the marks, we have strength. Our strength comes from God. He's given us the indwelling of the Spirit when we hear, believe, and obey and do what the Word of God says. But not only that. A mark of a Christian craft is inspiration. Our inspiration comes from God's Word. Now, you probably know where I'm going. I don't know what translation you use. I either use the New American Standard or the King James. I've used them all my life. I get them mixed up sometimes, which one's which. Don't make any difference. But that's what I use. And 2 Timothy 3:16 says, all Scripture is inspired by God. And it's profitable teaching, reproof, correction, instruction, and righteousness that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for good works. Doing good works. That's what we're supposed to be doing. We're inspired by God's Word. It's His Word that inspires us and directs us and puts us down the track that we need to go. It's His Word, that Word, that implanted Word, James says, it saves us. John 12:48, it says it's the same Word that's going to judge us. So it behooves us, maybe we ought to know what that Word says. That's the reason He says, store God's Word in your heart. Psalm 119:11, so you won't sin against God. How do I know whether I'm sinning? Look at God's Word. I know what it is. I know what sin is. All lawlessness. Oh, all transgression of law is sin. 1 John tells me. See, this is important. See, the mark of a Christian craftsman is, number one, is that we have God-centered work. We have our heart right with God. He has first place. We glorify Him. The mark of a Christian craftsman is the fact that we have strength. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us because God has given us the indwelling of the Spirit to do what we need to do. We have inspiration. Our inspiration comes from God's Word, not from man. I don't turn to man for what I need, for the answers to my problems or nothing else. How about you? I hope not. When you have a problem, when you have need something, go to God's Word. It's there. Go to God in prayer. God will kind of direct you over. Where's He going to direct you to? His Word. And basically, He expects us to read it and understand it. He says we can in Ephesians. He says we can. I've given it to you. You can understand it. All you got to do is read it, put it in your life, and make it work for you. And then he says the fourth thing. Not only do we have God-centered work and strength and inspiration, we have priorities. As Christian craftsmen, we have priorities. Now, I'm not going to put you on the spot and say, oh, what's your priority? You know, but you're thinking in your mind. Your priority needs to be what God says it needs to be. Number one, if your heart is right with God, you're going to put your thoughts and desires on things above, like Paul said in Colossians 3:2, put your thoughts and desires on things above. Now, think about that. If you have wrong thoughts and wrong desires, what are you going to have? Wrong actions. Isn't that true? If you have right thoughts and right desires, you're going to have right actions. You're going to be doing the things that God intends for you to do. We prioritize where our thoughts go, on things above, not in this world. We're in this world, but not of them. We sing that song, "This world is not my home." We're just passing through. Our real home is in heaven. So I'm in this world, but not of this world. And so my priority is, I'm going to put my thoughts and desires. My priority is, I love the Hebrew letter. Well, Paul wrote it more than likely. But anyway, when the Hebrew letter, when I read it, it says, fix your eyes on Jesus. He's your author and perfecter of your faith. Don't take your eyes off Him. And I love it because that's what they were doing. He says, some of you have an evil, unbelieving heart. Fall away from the living God. You're giving up Jesus. And then he goes through and he says, talks about Jesus. Brought in a better priesthood, a better covenant by which you can be saved, a better sanctuary, a better sacrifice. What the blood of bulls and goats couldn't do, the blood of Jesus did. He says, now put your trust and faith in Him. That's what it's all about. And then he says, now fix your eyes on Jesus, who's the author and perfecter of your faith. That's what you need to do. And that's what we need to be doing, is put our thoughts and desires on things above. Fix our eyes on Jesus. You know, one of the things I put with all the youth that I deal with, when I talk, when they send stuff and do stuff, and I write them, I just put in quotes, fix your eyes on Jesus. Fix your eyes on Jesus. I don't put where it is. If they want to know it, they'll find it. You know, I think if they've been around me, they're going to know where it is. But anyway, they'll know it's in the book of Hebrews. They'll find it. Anyway, we're talking about what we need to do as Christian craftsmen. And one of those things is set your priorities above. It's kind of like the song to sing. We already prioritized our lives, right? I have decided to follow Jesus, no turning back. Though none go with me, I still will follow, no turning back. My cross I'll carry till I see Jesus. No turning back. I'll follow Him. We sing that song all the time. You know, we prioritize when we made our mind to say, I have decided to follow Jesus. You're sitting here tonight. As a Christian, you've decided that's your priority, to follow Jesus. No matter what. No matter what the world does, no matter what people say, you're going to follow Jesus. Ah, because you know who He is and who you are with Him and who you are without Him. So we're going to follow Jesus. We prioritized our lives to follow. That's something we've decided. And we do that every day. We're living for Jesus. That started to be what I was going to talk about tonight, but I switched it. But anyway, we're living for Jesus no matter what, because we've decided to do so, to follow Him, to live for Him, to lift Him up and lift each and every day in our lives, to be the Christian craftsman that God wants us to be. So we prioritize some things. Now look over in 2 Corinthians for just a minute. 2 Corinthians 5. Now you know where I'm going. 2 Corinthians 5, 17 through 21. Our priority is, in simplicity, to be ambassadors for Christ. What's an ambassador? A spokesman, basically. A spokesman for Christ. Pointing people to Jesus, bringing people to the cross. That's what we're doing. And he says, and I'll just read 2 Corinthians 5, 17 through 21. Therefore, if any man is in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away and new things have come. Old thoughts, old desires, old prayer, all that's gone away now. Because now we're not in the flesh, now we're in the Spirit. And now we have new thoughts, new desires, new focuses. We're focused on the Lord. We have our thoughts on above instead of this world. Now all these things are from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. In Ephesians says we're all reconciled to God in one body, Jew and Gentile alike, through the cross. The cross is the grounds of our justification. Faith is the means of our justification. Faith in Christ Jesus that comes from the Word of God. And so he says we've been given the ministry of reconciliation, namely that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and he has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God were entreating through us, we beg you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. And we are reconciled to God in one body through the cross. He says, he made him who knew no sin to become sin on our behalf, that we might become the righteousness of God through him. Jesus became sin on our behalf when he went to the cross for your sins and my sins to take care of the sin problem one time for all time. And we're reconciled to God in one body through the cross. And now we're ambassadors for Christ. That's our priority, to be ambassadors for Christ, to be living for him and pointing people to him. Doesn't that make sense? That's what we do. Now, the fifth thing, if we're talking about a mark of being a Christian craftsman, is really there's two parts that go together. The fifth part involved in that is wisdom and knowledge. I'll back it up. What kind of work do we do? It's God-centered. Where do we get our strength from? From God. Where do we get our inspiration from? We get it from God's Word. Where do we get our priorities from? We get it from God. We're ambassadors for Christ. Where do we get our wisdom from and simplicity? Comes from God, doesn't it? If we lack wisdom, if anyone lacks wisdom, James says, if anyone lacks wisdom, ask of God. That's where wisdom comes from. Proverbs 4:7 says, the principal thing is get wisdom. That's the number one thing. But with it, understanding. It doesn't do any good to know it and then not do it. In fact, as James says, to know to do what's right and not do it is sin. Oh, so the principal thing is to get wisdom, and wisdom comes from God, so we go to God. We trust in God. We go to God. He gives us wisdom, and along with that is knowledge. You know, I think of Hosea, the prophet back there. Hosea said, man, you folks, you got a problem. You don't fear God. And here's why you don't. This is Hosea 6:6. The reason you don't fear God, he says, you don't know God. Therefore, you don't love God. Therefore, you don't follow God. You don't listen to God because you don't know him. You're not going to faith come by hearing, hearing the word of God. The only way we know anything about God is through his word. You know, it's again. And John, when we're building faith in Jesus Christ, the whole book of John is to build faith in Jesus. In chapter 5, he says, I tell you what, here's this Jesus. And he makes 7 claims. He claims to be equal with God. He knows this and that, and 7 things. And then he says, I'll tell you what, I'll back it up with 5 witnesses to prove that I am who I just got through claiming to be. And then he says, in simplicity, he says, the reason you reject me, you don't have the word of God abiding in you, so you won't come to me that you can have the life that I offered. You don't know me. If we don't have knowledge of God, we're certainly not going to call on God, trust him, rely on him, and be obedient to his word. See where I'm pulling it all together? But see, when you read it, Acts chapter 17, it says that God, it in him we live and move and have our very being. That's this unknown God that they didn't know about in Acts 17 he was telling about. It's in that one true God that we live, that we move and have our very being. God is creator, sustainer of all things. He's a living God. He's a listening God. He's a loving God. In other words, we sing in a song, our God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with power and wisdom. Our God is an awesome God, and he is. He reigns now, and he's always reigned. He's creator and sustainer of all things. So what we need to do is we need, as Christian craftsmen, we have wisdom and we have knowledge that comes from God, from God's word. And that's the reason Peter says, grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Makes sense, doesn't it? In fact, he says over there, he says, also in Peter, he says, here's 8 qualities you have. You're good if you got these good things, man, you're doing all right. And then one of those qualities is what? Knowledge. You got to know God before you're going to trust Him, rely on Him, and be obedient to Him. Doesn't that make sense? See, that's, but none of this works if your heart's not right with God. When you have your heart right with God, you're going to hear God's word, you're going to understand it, you're going to believe it, you're going to obey it, and you follow it, so that you can become a child of God, so that the Lord can add you to His spiritual body, spiritual church, spiritual kingdom, and the body of the saved, and you can go on your way rejoicing. And you will, when you have your heart right, you will have these qualities here. You will be God-centered in everything you do, glorifying Him. You know your strength comes from God. You're inspired by God's Word. Your priorities are set to be ambassador for Christ. And you have wisdom and knowledge from God, not from man or anything else. And when you have all that and you're a child of God, you got the peace and the joy that the world knows nothing about. So we have a challenge to go share it with others so they can have the peace and joy that we have. So hopefully they'll be ambassadors for Christ someday. I'm telling you, when I went to camp this last week, we got 8 more ambassadors for Christ. And I'm telling you, some of those folks, before they leave camp, I mean, they're on fire for the Lord. They can't wait to get back home and start sharing it with other people. Oh, we need to do that too. They always inspire. That's the reason I spoke on this tonight. I said, that was last week. I can't get it out of my mind. So I'm still saying, oh man, this is good stuff. I wish everybody could hear this. You know, because as Christians, we are His craftsmen. We're about doing His work. Not my work, doesn't matter. And we're God-controlled and not self-controlled. And we're all of what we are because when our heart is right with God, everything works. Otherwise, it doesn't. So we're going to sing this song in a minute. Is our heart right with God? I don't know where your heart is, where your life is, but if you need prayers, if you need whatever it is, I'm sure somebody here will talk with you, share it with you, or what have you. So if you want to go ahead and stand, I think He's going to lead us in that song. And if you have a need, well, let us know.